All right, the spiritual significance of the number five is our subject today. Beginning in Genesis, the number five is connected to grace through faith. It was through faith that Joseph waited for his dreams to be fulfilled. And when they were, he showed great favor to his full brother by the name, by the same mother, which was Benjamin. Now, here's what we're told in Genesis 45, verse 22. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin, that's his full brother, he gave 300 pieces of silver, very significant. We've already been over the number three. We've been over the significance of silver, but now he gave him five changes of raiment. Now, the raiment and the five are both significant, but we're dealing with the number five today, and we're going to see that it is the signification of that number is grace through faith. Signifying the fruits of the work of grace, Joseph presented five of his brothers to Pharaoh. Genesis 47:2. He took some of his brothers, even five men, and presented them to Pharaoh. Those five brothers in this story signify Christ presenting his father. Those his father's given him to his father, in other words, us. Signifying the grace and mercy we have been given, and which we, as the temple of God, will in time extend to the whole world. Nearly every measurement of the temple was in multiples of five. Romans 11, 30 through 31. For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these that don't believe also now not believed that through your mercy. See, we're not being saved just to save ourselves. We're being saved to be saviors, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. That is such a clear statement. For the world to be blinded, though, when the Lord blinds, we're blinded. We've all been there. There were three entrances to the tabernacle. Three signifies the process of us as we are being judged. The first part of that of the first part was the gate of the court, which was 20 cubits wide and 5 cubits high. And hung upon four pillars. Exodus 27, verse 16. The gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits. 20 is multiple of five. Of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework. And their pillars shall be four, and their sockets four. And the hanging of the gate of the court was needlework. And this is Exodus 38. Verse 18, so where we're going to get the height of it. Needlework in blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And 20 cubits was the length, like it said in Exodus 27. And the height and the breadth was 5 cubits, answerable to the hangings of the court. The whole curtain all around the court was 5 cubits, and that's what it means by answering to the hangings of the court. It was the same height. But the point is, 5 by 20 is 100. The second was the door to the temple, a tabernacle. Exodus 26:36. You will make a hanging of the door of the tent, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework. You shall make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of brass for them. Now that is talking about the entry into the tabernacle. The sockets were brass, and there were five of them. There were five pillars in those sockets. The length of the court of the tabernacle was 100 cubits. All of these multiples of five or multiples of five. Exodus 27, verse 9. You shall make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward, There shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen, 100 cubits, 5 times 20 again, long on one side. The width, which means the breadth of the court, was 50 cubits, divisible by 5. There's great significance to this. Exodus 27:12. For the breadth of the court, the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, 5 times 10. Their pillars 10, which is 2 times 5. The measure of the wings of the cherubims are 5 cubits. 1 Kings 6:24. 5 cubits was the wing, was one, the one wing of the cherub. 5 cubits was the other wing of the cherub. From the utmost part of the one wing unto the utmost part of the other were 10 cubits. That's 1 Kings 6:24. 2 Chronicles 3:12. One wing of one of the other cubit was 5 cubits reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was 5 cubits also joining the wing of the other cherub. The height of the capiters placed on tops of the pillars before Solomon's temple were 5 cubits each. 1 Kings 7:16. He made 2 capiters of molten brass to set them upon the tops of the pillars. The height of the one capiter was 5 cubits. The height of the other capiter was 5 cubits. The lavers in which the Levites washed themselves and the offerings were 10 in total, 5 on either side of the temple. 1 Kings 7:38. Then he made 10 lavers of brass. One laver contained 40 baths. That's 5 times 8 again. Every laver was 4 cubits. Every one of the 10 bases was a laver. Every one of the 10 bases, one laver. 1 Kings 7:39. He put 5 bases on the right side of the house and 5 bases on the other side of the house. And he set the sea, meaning the molten sea, on the right side of the house, eastward, over against the house. The sea was where the priests, and only the priests, washed themselves for their service to the temple, cleanse themselves. The candlesticks before the oracle. The oracle being the Ark of the Covenant, were 5 on one side, on the right side, and 5 on the left. 1 Kings 7:49. The candlesticks of pure gold, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, before the oracle, with the flowers and the lamps and the tongs of gold. The implements of the temple were in fives. This is incredible. Everything about the temple, it seems like, is just in multiples of fives, and there's a great significance to that, is that God is dealing with us in mercy and giving us grace through faith. And I hope before this is over, we'll understand exactly what grace is and what faith does. 2 Chronicles 4:6. He made also 10 lavers and put 5 on the right side and 5 on the left to wash in them, such things as they offered for the burnt offering. They, meaning the Levites, who were not priests, washed in them. But the sea was for the priests only to wash in. So I have adapted what Paul said about the table in the holy place that the priests ate at. And we have a sea as well as an altar in which they that serve the tabernacle have no right to wash. Now, there's a reason for that, and the reason is that God has chosen us as his priests. He has an elect. They are his priests. It's not that he doesn't like everybody else, but he's chosen them to be the saviors of all mankind. Here's Hebrews 3:13-10. We have an altar, the golden altar of incense within the holy place, whereof they have no right to eat, which serves the tabernacle. That is the Levites who are outside the tabernacle. No one went in that tabernacle except the priests. No one is in Christ except those who are in Christ. Christ is that tabernacle, and we are Christ, and he's in us, and we're in him. The candlesticks which give light to all who are within the temple of God are multiples and multiples of 5. First, Second Chronicles 4:7, he made 10 candlesticks of gold according to their form and set them in the temple, five on the right side, right hand, and five on the left. The tables at which the priests within the temple dined and the basins out of which they were fed were in multiples of the number five. Second Chronicles 4:8, he made also 10 tables and placed them in the temple, five on the right side, five on the left, and he made 100 basins of gold. The measurements of the molten sea where the priests washed and cleansed themselves, signifying the cleansing of all those who first trusted in Christ, you and me, those measurements were multiples of five. 1 Kings 4, 7:23. He made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one rim to the other. It was round about, in other words, it was a round pot, and his height was 5 cubits. 5 cubits is 7 feet, and a line of 30 cubits, 5 by 6, did compass it round about. This molten sea was literally filled with water, in a literal sense, for the cleansing of the priests. That same molten sea becomes a sea of glass mingled with fire in Revelation 15. Revelation 15:2. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had by grace through faith, the significance of the number five, gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Both water and fire cleanse us, but the fire follows the water. Numbers 31:23. Everything that may abide the fire, you shall make to pass through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abides not the fire, you shall make go through the water. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire. And this people would, and it will devour them. This people are those that reject Christ in this time. They're all God's people. He's going to save them. But for now, his word is burning them with fire, just like it has us. We've all been burned with the fire of God's word. Our old man is being burned up daily. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Physical water doesn't cleanse anything, doesn't change a heart. The washing of the water by the word changes the heart. This all relates to the Lord's nations and kings and priests. Nation of kings and priests who first trusted in Christ, who will rule with him 1,000 years. It will be through our mercy that they, the rest of the world, will receive mercy. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Not who only trusted in Christ, but who were the first. What we're being told is that ye, the temple of God, ye are the temple of God, and by grace are you saved through faith. That's the significance of all those fives. The mingled with fire is the chastening work of grace experienced by every son he receives. The grace of God chastens us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live godly lives in this present age. That chastening grace is the significance of the number five. Titus 2:11 and 12. This is so little understood. But here it is. It's the truth of God's word. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching. Now that word teaching is 3811 paiduo, and it means chastening. It's the one that we just read there in Hebrews, or we referred to there in Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. That's the same word. Chastening us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. We don't just give up being a drunk or a pedophile or whatever it might be. We don't just give it up because we decide, oh, I'm going to change myself. No, we have to be chastened to do that. That's just the way life is. That's the way God has ordained it. Understanding what grace does gives us a much deeper understanding of what this verse is saying, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered. What does the law do when it enters? The offense abounds, that the offense might abound. The law doesn't take away the sin. It just makes it more obvious. But where sin abounded, grace, chastening grace, did much more abound. You think you're more stubborn than God? Well, go for it. But the fact is, you're going to come out on the short end of the stick, and your old man is going to die. We are all self-righteous, stubborn sinners by God's, but God's chastening overcomes that. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17. Know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Well, we've all done that. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And we are all paying the price by dying daily. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a gift of God to be chastened and scourged and be received by him. That's Hebrews 12, verse 6. By whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. That is the positive significance of the number 5. It's only by chastening grace through faith that anyone comes to Christ. And both grace and faith are a gift. A gift. We don't have any faith of our own. Our faith is a gift of God. It's the faith of Christ. And that's what it's called. It's called the faith of Christ. We're told, well, we are told that the whole world is God's offspring and that he will not lose a single soul. 1 Corinthians 15, 25, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. These are Paul's words to pagan Athenians. Acts 17, verse 27 and 28, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him. Though he is not far from every one of us, he's right here, right now. He is right here, right now. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Talking to pagan Athenians. All men of all time will be saved by grace through faith. Galatians 2, starting in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. This is many years after Peter had gone to Cornelius' house and was told not to call in or consider any man common or unclean. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with Peter, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now, Barnabas and Paul had been fellow apostles there going on that first trip together. And this was right after that in Antioch when they came back to Antioch and Peter was there and this all happened. And they ended up going up to Jerusalem to settle the question, do Gentiles have to be circumcised? But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live after the manner of the Gentiles, which he had just been doing, and not as do the Jews, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Even we have believed Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Wise and foolish virgins were five each. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. This is Matthew 25, verses 1 and 2. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now the five foolish virgins are a negative application of the number five. As we've learned, there is a negative and a positive application to every word of Scripture. The holy anointing oil was five parts, four spices, and one hin of olive oil. The four spices were measured in shekels, which were divisible by five. Exodus 30, verse 22 through 25. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take you also unto you principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and cassia of 500 shekels, after the shekel of sanctuary, and of oil olive, a hin. And you shall make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be in holy oil, it shall be in holy anointing oil. Now the title Christ means anointed. Christ was his father's anointed, meaning he had been given his father's spirit without measure. John 3, verse 34, for he of whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the spirit by measure to him. That's speaking of Christ, our head. It was the spirit without measure that kept Christ from ever sinning. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's those who will be in the first resurrection. We are the ones who will be to the praise of his glory. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Christ, also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're sealed with it, but we weren't born of the Holy Spirit like Christ. We certainly weren't given his spirit without measure as Christ was. We've been given an unction of the Spirit, as King James puts it, which gives us the ability to discern those who are not of us. But Christ also is re alone. Christ alone is referred to when we're told that God gave not his spirit by measure to him. First John 2, verse 19 and 20. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction. That word unction is chrisma, same root that Christ comes from, anointed, from the Holy One, and you know all things. This word anoint, a translated unction here in 1 John 2:20, appears only three times in the New Testament, and the other two times are in verse 27 of this same chapter, where it's twice translated as anointing. So we have an anointing of the Father. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But here it is in verse 27, translated with the word anointing. But the anointing, charisma, which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach. That's not saying that we don't need teachers. It's talking about man. When the Bible says man, standalone man, it's talking about evil men. Beware of men, or they will beat you in their synagogues and so on. You have no need that any man teach you, but the same anointing, charisma, teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Well, it has taught you through your teachers. God has ordained teachers in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. The Lord's Spirit is signified by the holy anointing oil. The incense was of five parts, the fifth being salt, translated as tempered together. Exodus 30, verse 34. I want you to see this. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto you three spices, stake, onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices, with the fourth is pure frankincense, of each there shall be like weight. And you shall make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary. That's the fifth one. Tempered together, this is it, that word tempered together is salt. It's actually salt, malic, pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with you, and it shall be unto you most holy. Now, I've actually gone through that little process there with the frankincense. You can take frankincense and burn it, and it smells good. But if you beat it into you beat it into powder, it really puts off a fragrance. So there's a very great spiritual lesson in that. The Lord is beating us to powder. Whoever this rock falls on will. I forget exactly how it's worded, but he on whom it falls shall be crushed to powder. The Lord is falling on all of us and crushing us to powder. You shall beat some of it very small and put it in the before the testimony in the tabernacle congregation where I will meet with you. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume, which you shall make, you shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto you holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make it, make like unto that another Jesus to smell thereof, shall even be cut off from his people. David's faith is signified by the five smooth stones which he took from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 through 41. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put in a helmet of brass on his head. Also, he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I've not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took him his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man bare the shield went before him. Now the smoothness of the five stones signifies the trial of our faith by God's chastening grace, and the washing of the water by the word. Because that water in a brook, anybody that's ever been in a creek knows that the stones in a creek are smooth because they get washed over and run over each other all the time. And they make each other smooth. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, which we've referred to before. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We are lacking five things at the time the Lord chooses us as his wife. Ezekiel 16, verses 4 and 5. As for your nativity and the day that you were born, your navel was not cut, neither were you washed in the water to supple you. You were not salted. Now that's that word malak, that it was translated tempered earlier. You were not salted, nor swaddled at all. No eye pitied you to do any of these to you, to have any compassion on you. That's the fifth thing right there. But you were cast out in the open field to the loathing of your person in the day that you were born, the day we first come to Christ while still in Babylon. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, harnessed. And the Concordant Version translates that word as in five sections. Exodus 13, verse 18. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel were harnessed. The word is komesh, and it harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Hence, Elohim caused the people to turn about by the wilderness of the road of the Sea of Weeds, deployed in five sections. The sons of Israel ascended from the land of Egypt. Some of the literal versions translate this Hebrew word komesh as in the fifth generation. The ERR and the ECB both say it in ranks of five for the word komesh. But they all agree that the number five is involved. Exodus 13, verse 18, this is the ERR. God led Elohim, turned the people about, around, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of the sons of Israel, Yisrael, went up harnessed, ascended in ranks of five out of the land of Egypt. Or some of these translations are hard to read. Exodus 13, 18. Elohim turns the people round about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel ascend in ranks of five from the land of Mizraim. The stone cut out of the mountain without hands became a mountain, a kingdom, that destroyed and replaced the fifth kingdom of iron mixed with clay to become a new fifth kingdom, which filled the whole earth. Daniel 2:32, this image's head was of fine gold. That's the first one. Second one, breast of iron, arms of silver, breast and arms of silver. Third, belly and thighs of brass. Fourth, legs of iron. His feet, fifth one, part of iron and part of clay. You saw till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image on his feet that were iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. And no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. These five kingdoms of men signified the object of Christ's grace, which is working with his elect in this age and will come to be in all in Adam at the great white throne. The significance of the number five is grace and faith, which the Lord has gifted those whom he dwells. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. The grace and the faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Does that mean there are no works at all? We can go about being sinners? For we are his workmanship. There is work, his work, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, all which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So what's the difference between salvation by works and salvations without works? The salvations without works is just acknowledging that it's not our works, it's Christ. And the law of Moses is not a faith. The law of Moses is not a faith. It's your own righteousness, and that's what Paul says about it. Which we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. John 4, verse 23. The hour comes and now is that the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father works, the Father seeks. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. I sought you out. For the Father seeks such to worship him. John 6, 44. This is the truth. Everything else is a lie. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw. The word is helkuo, and it means drag him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach to you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even your holy temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? God's temple is covered with the number 5, the anointing oil. That's the purpose of this study, to demonstrate that everything concerned with who we are has to do with grace through faith. The anointing oil is all measured in increments of 5. The components in the incense are described in multiples of 5. We are the Lord's temple, where the Lord dwells. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, again, know you not that you're the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, I said earlier, Christ is the temple. Well, which is it? In that day, you will understand that I'm in you and you're in me and we're in the Father. We're both the temple of God. The anointing oil separates the Lord to the Lord, that which must be separated to him. Nothing else can do so. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The word draw is 1670, helkuo, and it means to drag, and I will raise him up at the last day. Elsewhere it's translated drag. Peter dragged the net up on the shore full of fishes. They didn't come with their own free will. The sweet-smelling incense keeps the Lord's people connected to their Heavenly Father through our prayers and our supplications with gratitude. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalms 107, 22. Now that's the chapter that I was referring to in our discussion earlier. Psalms 107, where he talks about the goodness of God. And we're supposed to declare his works with rejoicing. The Lord is working all things after the counsel of his own will, and we will do well to declare his works with rejoicing. I think that's it for today. So thank you all for being here.